Now to accusations that the Vatican's representative in Australia, Archbishop Paul Gallagher, who is the newly appointed papal nuncio here, has been resisting calls for the provision of documents to the New South Wales inquiry into child sexual abuse allegations in the Catholic Diocese of Maitland, Newcastle. The New South Wales inquiry was established last November to investigate sexual abuse by two priests of the diocese, Father Dennis McClendon and Father James Fletcher. It's running concurrently with the Royal Commission to investigate institutional responses to child sexual abuse. According to a report in The Guardian Australia, the Special Commissioner heading the New South Wales inquiry, Margaret Kaneen SC, requested documents from the church which were held in Canberra and in Rome. But the church response is that the documents aren't available because of diplomatic immunity afforded by various international agreements. The Catholic Church established its Towards Healing, Truth, Justice and Healing Council to oversee its response to the Royal Commission and to the pastoral and other ramifications that have arisen from sexual abuse scandals. Its CEO is Francis Sullivan, and he joins us this morning. Welcome to Summer Breakfast.
Yeah, good morning.
Francis, I know the Towards Healing Council has just finished giving 2 weeks of evidence to the Royal Commission, and we'll get to that. But let's start with this allegation that the church is calling on diplomatic immunity to withhold documents to the New South Wales inquiry. I understand you spoke to Paul Gallagher, the papal nuncio, last night. Is he using diplomatic immunity to stop the documents?
I think the report might be inaccurate. He advised me that on the 6th of December, he produced the documents, which is basically correspondence that was required in relation to Fathers McClendon and Fletcher. So maybe the report is a little time-warped, I think.
So there will be, what, full and forthcoming sharing of those documents?
Sure. When we started in my role, I made it clear that the church would cooperate fully with the Royal Commission, and that was the instruction from the church leadership. And the same applies to other inquiries. And what that means, of course, is that as far as documents in Australia are concerned, we have control over that. When there are documents from overseas in the Vatican, that becomes a diplomatic issue. Although we're very clear that the relationship between Australia and the Vatican, if conducted through the appropriate diplomatic channels, will produce the documents any inquiry needs. And that's what's occurred here.
So the documents will come from both Australia and Rome. There won't be any documents that won't be forwarded if requested.
That's right.
And it's a guarantee.
Yeah, that's what you've already heard on the record from even the Cardinal when he was at the Victorian inquiry. We've made it abundantly clear as far as the Royal Commission goes. And as I said, the nuncio made it clear to me last night that the documents that were requested to do with McClendon and Fletcher were delivered on the 6th of December.
So why a reference then to diplomatic immunity if there's no problem in passing on documents that have been requested?
Well, I'm not a foreign affairs expert here, Cathy, but I think probably the anxiety may have gone back to a previous inquiry in Ireland where there was some type of real breakdown in communications between that government and the Vatican, and there were stalls and everybody got concerned, would we get a repeat of that here? And that's not on. I mean, the church leadership in Australia from the highest point have made it clear there's going to be full cooperation with these inquiries. And I think with the documents turning up on the 6th of December, it demonstrates that.
And all of those documents have turned up, Francis?
As I understand it, Cathy, I mean, I'm not involved in the actual logistics. Sure. It's just the advice I got last night.
All right. Well, shifting to the Royal Commission to look at the institutional responses to child sexual abuse, the Towards Healing Council, of course, as I mentioned, has just finished 2 weeks of hearings there. And there were, again, some harrowing accounts from victims who felt the council had failed in its quest to respond to accounts of abuse, but also the possibility that the church's great wealth could become available as compensation to the victims. Tell us about the straight talking from the Brisbane Archbishop, Mark Coleridge.
Sure. But firstly, I think you're right. You know, these are really grueling exercises for victims and their families and people who are associated with them. Not only for the courageous people who turn up and tell their story in the public domain, but for people who have been abused and are watching it. you know, and I just wanted to recognise that to start off with. Secondly, you know, not just the 5.5 million Catholics around Australia, but everyone else need answers. And at least we've found in these 2 weeks that church people have gone forward. They've told their story. Sometimes it's a bumbling story. Sometimes it's embarrassing for them personally. But in the case of, say, Archbishop Coleridge, he made it abundantly clear that when it comes to the handling of child sex abuse, the issue is oversight and responsibility, and that falls with the bishop or the church leader responsible for that service. Nowhere else. And he said, and he made it clear, that for a long time, bishops and leaders were like rabbits in the headlights, but there is no excuse for a lack of oversight.
So is this a real shift here, that rather than victims only being able to pursue the individual that abused them, that they might be able to find real compensation from the church itself?
Well, the church has been paying out lots of money over the years in reparation settlements. And one of the things that's become apparent to us as a council, and we've already advised this, that the days of the church investigating itself are over, Kathy. It's time for an independent body outside the church to do the investigation, to do the assessment, to determine what a compensation package will be, and then it's up to the church to pay for the compensation package. That's the first point. The second is that some people have found that payouts to them are far less than what others got, and that's not good enough. One of the things that Justice McClelland and the council assisting have been pushing, and rightly so, on the church is, what is just and what is compassionate in outcomes? And we totally agree. Churches should be about pastoral justice and compassionate care. And we've got to have the divide between pastoral care and compensation. And let's not mix the two up, because there are too many sad stories of misinformation, of victims not really being given enough information about what to expect, or about timelines aren't being met on treating people properly, and even down to people feeling that their rights are not being preserved in any negotiations.
Francis Sullivan, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Kathy.
Francis Sullivan is the CEO of the Catholic Church's Towards Healing, Truth, Justice and Healing Council. It's 7 minutes to 8.